In the gospel reading today, we hear about our Lord raising this young man from the dead. And when he raises this man, of course, the people marvel. Now, there are some who might try to suggest maybe the man wasn't really dead, because after all, the Jewish law requires that they have to be buried before sunset, the day that they died. And so maybe he wasn't really dead, and so he just woke up. He was dead. And Jesus raised him from the dead. And so the people started marveling at this and saying that a great prophet has been raised up and God has visited his people. Today, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to such things because paramedics do these things a lot with their little paddles, and you go to the hospital and they can start somebody's heart again sometimes. And so it happens with some frequency, and so we tend to kind of ignore it. But yet what we have to be able to look at is the deeper question. This man was dead. And in being brought back to life, that means that his soul had left his body and came back into his body. We live in a society where people are terrified of death. There are only two reasons that I can think of why someone would be terrified of death. Either because we're in the state of mortal sin and we're not repentant, or number two, because we really don't believe in who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We live in a society that has focused almost entirely on the body. The body has become an idol, and everything is focused on the flesh. But we have something within us that is immensely more valuable than the body, and that is our soul. And we pay so little attention in this society to the soul and so much attention to the body. The body tends to be all about total selfishness. It's either wanting to make sure that we look a certain way because, of course, we need to impress everybody, or we want people to be wowed by the way that we appear, or whatever it may be. It's all total selfishness. It's pride. It's vainglory, exactly the things St. Paul was talking about in the readings today. Or it's about pleasure and just seeking what the senses desire and giving in to whatever urges and desires we might have at whatever moment. And we are surrounded by things that provide for us immediate gratification. And so we give in on a regular basis. And it's interesting because when we listen to what St. Paul talks about, he says, he who sows in the flesh from the flesh will also reap corruption. We're going to die and we're going to be buried. The body is going to be buried. It's going to be corrupted. It's going to rot. Let's be clear about that. So why are we so focused on something that's going to rot out, or as the saints would say, become worm food? I mean, really? We're going to be so focused on making sure that the worms have some really good nutrition? Where are you going to go when you die? Because your personality is in your soul, not in your body. Your mind and your will are the faculties of your soul. They have nothing to do with the body. Your brain is not your mind. These are spiritual faculties. So how much focus are we really putting on our souls that will not die? Our souls are going to live forever. They cannot die. The soul is the principle of life. So it's going to live forever. And yes, on the last day of the world, our bodies are going to rise from the dead and they're going to be reunited with our souls, and body and soul, we will live forever. Where becomes the question. Where are we going to live forever? Because heaven is for those who love God. Hell is for those who love themselves. Our society is all about the self. And that's why St. Paul tells us that if we live by the Spirit, then we need to walk according to the Spirit. So we have to ask that simple question first. Do we actually live by the Spirit? Is God the center of my life? Is God what is most important, or is God just part of my life? I mean, you know, I want to hedge my bets just in case this is real. I better make sure I go to church and go through the motions just in case. No, there is no just in case. It's either true or it's false. And if it's true, then we need to put God at the center, because that's what we want to be living our lives for. And if it's not true, then none of us ought to be here. And if that's the case, then the ways of the world are what are true. And what a tragedy that would be, because look at what's happening to the world. Again, you just look at what's happening today. People have taken their focus off of the spiritual. And so it's all about material things. It's all about money. It's all about pleasure. And the dumbest thing that I've heard so far is that people think that somehow or another technology will help them to live to be 150. Really? Who wants to live to be 150? Who wants to be down here for longer than you need to? How dumb. But all that says is this is the end. I have no hope for the future, so therefore I have to stay here as long as I possibly can, because nothing further exists. There's a lot further that exists. So we really need to look again at what this is about. If we are spending so much time and so much effort on something that is going to corrupt, something that is going to rot, why? How much time and effort are we spending building up the soul? How much time and effort is spent on the spiritual life as opposed to the physical things? Those are questions all of us need to really look at seriously within our own selves. Now again, if we look at the question of heaven, and we're going to say, yep, I really believe in what the Lord has taught, and I really love Jesus, and I want to spend eternity with him, then why would we ever be afraid to die? I'm not saying we ought to have a death wish. Certainly we can't be out killing ourselves. But it's something that we should look forward to. Now that sounds a little bit crazy to people. So let's put it into a different context. Let's say that there was some place in the world, wherever it may be, it doesn't matter, that you have just always, always, always wanted to visit. Oh, if there's one place in the world I really want to go, it's whatever place. Now let's add to that. Let's say that your parents in their retirement have decided to go and live there, or your children have decided to go and live there. And now it's a couple of years since you've seen your parents or your children, and now they're living in this place you've always wanted to go. What if somebody were to come along and say to you, look, I will give you an all-expense-paid trip to this place you've always wanted to go. You can visit with your family and your loved ones again. Are you going to say, oh, I'm really scared. I can't go there. I'm terrified. No, this is where you've always wanted to be, and you have people who love you there. Of course you want to go there. Well, guess what? You've got an all-expense-paid trip. And we're terrified to go to the place where we say we want to spend eternity? We're scared to go to the person that we say that we love? Do we really love him? I don't think that most of us would be afraid to see somebody that we love. So if we're afraid to stand in front of Jesus, then we can't love him very much. So do we really believe? If we really think seriously about this conflict that goes on within us, St. Paul talked about it last week in the readings that we heard. And he said, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And if you really stop to think about the list of things that he talked about, let's see if I can find it from last week, yeah. So he says, here are the things of the flesh. Is it immorality, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmity, contentions, jealousies, angers, quarrels, factions, parties, envies, murders, drunkenness, carousing, and such like? Now you notice that if we give in to the things of the flesh, they actually harm our souls. They do harm to our souls. They take away sanctifying grace. They weaken us. They damage us. They pull us down. But then if you listen to the other side of that, the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity, those don't do any harm to the body. In fact, they bring the body into the proper balance. And so if we give in to the things of the flesh, not only do we have the corruption that comes from it, but we're harming our own souls. Every time we sin, we hurt ourselves. And isn't it amazing the devil is saying, look, give in to this pleasure. And what God's saying is, no, it's going to hurt you. And because it's pleasurable, we think it doesn't hurt. It's hurting your soul. But if we say no to those sinful desires and instead we do what is right and grow in virtue, not only does the soul get built up and strengthened, but so does the body. So if we focus on the spiritual things, it's a win-win situation for us. There is nothing there that's going to cause harm, and there is only what is going to bring about good. That needs to be our focus. Now again, we're living in a society where that is not the focus. So we have to make a real choice to be able to do this. Like St. Paul said, if we're going to live by the Spirit, we have to walk according to the Spirit. It has to be a part of our day-to-day life. This needs to be what's central to us. That's the challenge that's put before us. So it's a great opportunity to be able to look ahead, because every last one of us is going to die one day. It's a reality. Our society doesn't want to face death. So it comes up with all these goofball movies about people who die, but they don't die because they're vampires or they're zombies or whatever it might be. That's just a bunch of trash. We're all gonna die. Maybe there's a reason why St. Ignatius of Loyola, when he put together his spiritual exercises, a 30-day silent retreat, what's the first thing that he has the people meditate on day one? Their death. Like, really? Why would you have people meditate on their death? Because it's going to determine how you're going to live your life. So he asks you to meditate on what your death would be. What do you want your death to be like? And what follows from it? So again, do you want it to be holy? Do you want it to be something that's peaceful? Do you want it to be going in the right direction? And that's what we have to be striving for. And the wonderful thing is that when we look at the holiness, we look once again and recognize this is a spiritual reality. Consequently, it has all the good. There's no competition. Look at the things of the flesh. It's who can have the most and who can be the biggest and who can be the best and who can have this or that, who looks this way or that. It's all about competition. Have you ever read a saint who said, "I am holier than somebody else"? No, they're not interested in who's the holiest. In fact, they're interested in helping other people grow in holiness. They want to be as holy as they can be. They want the people around them to be as holy as they can be. They want to build people up, not tear people down. So again, something all of us can really look at seriously. How important is this to me? Is God really the center of my life? Am I really truly walking according to the ways of the Spirit? Because remember, this life is preparation for where we're going to spend eternity. And there are only two possibilities. Our society is leading us down the wide, smooth, easy road that leads to perdition. Jesus came to give us the rough and narrow way that's going to lead to life. Obviously, in this life, walking the wide, smooth, easy road is a lot easier, and it's a lot more fun, and it's a lot more pleasant. But look at where it's leading. Do you really want what's going to lead to condemnation, to corruption for the rest of eternity? Do you really want your body to rise from the dead and be reunited with your soul and live in hell for eternity? I hope the answer to that is no. But again, we need to be clear, because people come up with these weird ideas. Hell is going to be a day that feels like it's 95 and really humid, kind of miserable, but heaven will be like 75 and a really pleasant day. Wrong. It's way, way, way different from that. Hell is going to be pure selfishness, separation from God, and looking at your own self for the rest of eternity. It's all about me. Isn't that what our society is all about? Didn't they even call it that back a couple of generations? It's the me generation. We're not made for me. We're made for the Lord and for others. So if we're following the Lord, then we're going to rejoice when that day comes and we can actually leave this world and go forth, because we aren't afraid. Because we know where we're headed, because we love the Lord and we're in the state of grace and we know that we're headed the right direction. It's a day of rejoicing, not a day of sadness, not a day for fear, but the fulfillment of everything that our life has been about. If it goes the other way, yeah, it'd be a tragedy for the rest of eternity. So it's not just a matter of saying, let's make the right choice. That is, choose which way you want to go. But it's a matter of saying, get on the right road. The road that leads to heaven is love of God and love of neighbor. It's putting God at the center. It's developing the spiritual life. It's working at the things of the Spirit. The way that leads the other direction, it's all about the flesh. It's all about the self. It's all about me. So that's the choice we have to make. Not just a generic, would I rather go here or there, but what's the path I'm going to follow? So if we're going to want to follow that path that's going to lead to heaven, we need to make a real choice to do that. That means making the effort to put the spiritual life as the priority, making sure that God is truly the center of your life, and that everything about your life is going to lead you deeper in union with Jesus Christ.